put on my heart. And I'm going to do something different. I'm going to start where I was actually going to finish. So God just, like, on my drive here, he showed me, he's just like, he just was telling me how important everybody is. And when I was growing up in the church, I always felt kind of like a shadow, a little bit overlooked. Do I really have a place? I know I'm important. I know God wants me to be important. And for like 20 years of hearing God's plans and blah, 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 right? And I was just like, what is God's plan for my life? And I was wondering, like, God, I know you have plans for me. I think you do. I think you think about me. And then God just gave me the scripture verse, and I know we've heard it before, but it's just, you can never hear it enough. That's my thing. It's Jeremiah 29:11-13. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." When God looks at you, he has a future for you. It's not like, I'm just here to warm a seat. No. God looks at you, you've accepted him, he has a plan for your life, and it's when you remain in his will that plan is going to soar. And it says, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." And that was like, that was with me with God. I was always just like, okay, God, you know, I want you to use me and stuff like that. But it was like, I wasn't giving my whole self to God completely. I was, God, you're here, I'm here, we're kind of going the same way. My will, your will is kind of 50-50. But God, he doesn't want that. He wants us to completely give ourselves to him. So I just want you to know, before I start, that you are very important, and he thinks about you every day. And it even says in the word, Jesus prays for you. So you're so important to him, he prays for you. It's like, whoa. So another thing too is my biggest fear is public speaking. And if you knew me as a child or younger or whatever, I was super shy. So I'd be the one like in the corner avoiding people. And then one day one of my friends was like, "What's your biggest fear?" I'm like, "Public speaking." And then she's like, "Oh, that's where God's going to use you." And I'm like, "What?" No. I'm like, I'll do anything. I'll be a servant. I'll scrub the floors. I'll do anything. And they're like, no, God's going to use you to speak to people. And I'm like, okay, if God, if that's your will, God, then when I stand up there, you're going to just take over, because there's no way it's going to be me. So that's why I said, like, God, if you want to use me, I also had another little thing. I do that to God. I was like, hey, you have to, I test him a little. No, I don't test him, but I just like, kind of want him to really show me that he wants to use me. So I was like, God, if you want me to share on Sunday, you have to get Mike to ask me. That was like my thing. Like, Mike Rosno has to ask me. So then, two Saturdays ago, I was sharing my heart, and God's been showing me so much these past few months and just really changing my heart and giving me his heart and stuff. And I was just sharing that with Mike and Mo two Saturdays ago, and I was just like, just coming out, and I was so happy, and I was just like, I just want to bring this to the young adults and blah, blah, blah. And then Mike's like, would you ever consider sharing on Sunday? And without even thinking, I was like, yes, because I knew. I was like, God, that's what I asked you, and you're giving it to me. So if I say no, I'm like stopping you. I'm putting the brakes on, and God doesn't want us to do that. And on my way here, I was kind of nervous a little bit. I'm like, oh, what if like it doesn't come out or whatever? And God's like, you don't have to be nervous. You're not speaking. You're just there, and you're my vessel, and I'm going to use you. I was like, okay, that's cool. It's not me. This is good. So, and like in the Bible, it says he used a donkey. So he can use anybody. It's yes. So, I just really felt, I've because I let fear control me for so long, when I finally was like, you know what, it's enough. I'm giving my life to you, Jesus. It's all yours. Do with me as you will. And the constant dying to self and dying to flesh and giving my life to God, it was just this freedom came. It's complete freedom. Like, there's nothing that can hold me back, because God is for me. Who can be against me, right? God is for us. Who can be against us? So, yeah. And then a couple nights ago, I was nervous too, and I was like, God, you know, you really have to use me, whatever, right? And before bed, I opened my Bible, and I looked, and it was underlined, and it said, "Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things." I just closed my Bible. It's like, okay, God, you just really want me to share what you have for me. So I was like, this is good. So I'm not a person who is perfect. I sin, and I have, God has taken me out of so much and has made a way for me. He's cleared my path, but you don't have to be this great person for God to use you. God's going to use you where you are, who you are. He's going to just be like, give me who you are, I will give you who I am, and let's just run. So I had a title for my, what he's been put on my heart, and I had this title, and I was like, yes, it's so perfect. And then God told me a few days ago, he's like, I'm changing it. I'm like, no, I love it, I want this title. And he said, no, I'm going to change it. In fact, I'm going to change everything you just wrote. I was like, oh, come on, it was 80% done. So I spent a few days last week working on it, and then Friday night, 1 in the morning, I was done, and then I was like, yes, I'm all done. And then Saturday night, he's like, oh, I have a few more for you. I'm like, okay, we can do this. So my title is, Thy Will Be Done in Me, O Lord. It's not my will be done in me, O Lord. It's Thy Will Be Done in me, O Lord. It's God's will, and that's where it starts. I'll just tell you a little backstory about myself and how I got to this point. About a year and a half ago, I started drifting away from God. I was questioning things. I was letting my will kind of take, instead of following God and me, it was more like God was drifting from me and I was getting more into things. I was letting myself lead instead of God lead. And for some time, it actually, I thought it worked. I was like, this is good. I'm like getting what I want from the world, and I'm getting what I want from God, and this is great. It works perfectly. And it's just, that just, after about 8 months, it cracked, broke down. It couldn't work like that anymore. I was at such a low place, and it was so foggy. I couldn't really see anything. Nothing made sense. The only thing that made sense was God, and I didn't even really know why at that point. So, it was. So that's when I decided I needed to choose God. And actually, I'll just back it a bit. It was Ashley Bell. He came down. He's an NCMI guy, and he came down to do a GTT, and he was prophesying over people and telling them they're these great futures, right? And I was like in the back, and I was behind someone, I was hiding. It's like, don't notice me, because I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I thought God was still okay with it because no one really corrected me, right? So I was like, this is good. And then Ashley Bell's like calling these people up, and I'm hiding. I'm like, don't even call me, don't look at me. And then he like goes like this, he's like, you in the pink. I'm like, no, I'm not wearing pink. And then I come up, and I was just like ashen face, because I was just, he's gonna expose me to the world. He's gonna be like, you have been condemned. And I'm just like, no! And I'm just standing there, and I'm just looking, and he goes through, I'm like the fourth one he's going to talk to, and I'm just like, oh. And then he looks at me, and he gives me this beautiful prophecy of what God has for my life, and I was just like, booyah! I'm like, I was just like, I could keep doing what I'm doing, and God's going to use me. I'm just like, life is great! And then he keeps talking, whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to sit down and everything's going to be good. The life I'm living is going to change, and I'm going to still have everything I built in my self kingdom and in God's kingdom. I was like, this is great. And then he whips his head around. He looks at me and he says, if you remain in God's will. And I was just like, it shattered. I was just like, oh, so I have to remain in God's will. And I was just like, oh no, that means that my will isn't going to work. And so that's when I reached the end of the line. It took me about another month to really realize that the life I was living was not for me. It was actually making me sick. It was making me confused, making me hate myself, making me just complete despair, kind of great depression, everything. And then God just said, I love you. And I was like, no, you can't love me. I'm like, I'm not one of those people that was from the world and you saved, or was saved and kind of backslid. I was someone who was brought up in the church. I had 20 years of being told everything, right? I was like, I knew what I was doing. Clear head, right? I was just like, I knew it. And God's like, no, I love you. I was like, how could you love me? He's like, I love you. He's like, I left the 99 sheep and I came for you. And I was like, what? And it's just like, I want you back. I want you because I love you. And that's what he does for us. He leaves the 99 sheep and he comes and finds us. Even when we think we're still in his will, it's like, no, I want to complete you completely. And I was just like, whoa! So it was a huge thing. And that's when it's in Joshua. I think I have it. Okay, I don't have it. It's Joshua 24:15. Oh, look, I turned to it. 24:15. Okay, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestor worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. So it's like, choose today who you will serve. And that was for me. I needed to choose who I was going to serve. And I chose God. And my family was a big part of that. Changing me, helping me. It was perseverance. It wasn't like, okay, God, you've taken me, you transformed me, I'm new. From this point on, I'm okay. But it is that. He takes you by the hand. He's made you new and clean, but it's a walk. You now have to walk in his ways. You have to push forward, and there were so many strongholds in my life, and they just needed to come out, and it was painful, because dying to self is painful, but there's a reward. God is your reward, and every day, this is painful, this is hurting me, I do feel like giving up, but I know that at the end of this road, there is a light. And Leah told me something, because I was just, it was all dark and black and stuff, and Leah and I have a very similar testimony, but she looked at me and she said, Cassandra, I know it's dark right now, but there is a light. You just keep pushing forward. And I was like, yes, I know it's true because she's gone through it. So it's like, I can do this. So I have a long story, but it could be this. My testimony today can be summed up in this one paragraph. And I believe it tells how great our God is and how much grace and patience he has for us. And I believe this testimony can be said for many of us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. God saved us from the world we came out of. Even if we were raised in a Christian home, we still have our sins. We still have our questions. And he wants you to know he loves you so much. Okay, sorry. So, the months that followed that testimony, my testimony was just dying to self completely, and God just took out my deep-rooted sins, thank you, and pulled out so that I had insecurities, I was manipulative, I was deceptive, selfish, and the list is huge, but he just washed it away and kept pulling out those roots, kept pulling them out, and it hurt. But like Jesus said in John 8:11, there we go. Teacher, they said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stopped, stooped down, and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. When God takes you by the hand, he has every reason to condemn us, but he chooses not to. And instead of saying, now go back to your will and live your way, he says, no, I've made you clean. I've given you a future, a new life. Now take it and go and sin no more. You will sin, but you're going to keep confessing your sin to God, and you're going to keep moving forward, and you're not going to, that's not your goal to be like, I'm going to go sin and God's going to forgive me. It's no. God said, go and sin no more. So, dying to self is not fun. It is painful, but you keep pushing forward, you keep letting go, you keep letting God lead, you keep dying, and you keep submitting to your King. In Matthew 16:24, Matthew 16:24 to 26. Never mind. It's not it. Okay, by trying to keep my life, I was losing it. But when I chose Jesus and to die to myself, that's when true freedom came. So it says in the Bible, those who seek to find their lives will lose it, and those who die to self for my sake will find it. And that's what I learned. I never really understood that scripture verse until I really learned, oh my goodness, I need to die to my selfish nature. I need to crucify it on my cross. I need to bear my cross, and I need to walk forward in the ways of Jesus. And that's not going to be always easy, but that's where true freedom comes. That's where you feel completely true in God. So, God will never lead us astray. He always keeps us in his, and he always keeps his promises. So when God promises something like, I have a future for you, it's not, oh, does he have a future for me? It's like, no, God said it, it's true. Black and white. So in 2 Corinthians 1-20, it says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. So when you accept Jesus into your life, that's it. That's the beginning. It's after that, it's smooth sailing. Well, not smooth sailing, but it's like, it's a go after that, right? The old is gone, the new has come. So in Luke 11:9-11, Luke 11:9-11, it says this. This is who our God is. It says, so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. So God doesn't say, okay, now you're my child. Now you're my bride. I love you. Now go away. It's like, no. He's like, keep asking. Like, I asked for a long time, but it's in his timing, and he's like, you know what, Cassandra, I need to prepare you, and you're not willing to give up your will, so let's keep moving forward. It's like, keep asking, keep knocking, God keeps showing. He doesn't just leave us in the dark. He keeps showing, he keeps telling us what to do, and, you know, because my will was leading, I was clouded, and I couldn't hear him. So that's our God. Our God is for us. Who can be against us? In Romans 5:20-21, this actually was given to me a couple days ago by Leah. Okay, Romans 5:20-21, it says, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Christ Jesus. Like, our sin is so great, but God's grace is greater. And when he washes your sins away, it's gone. You can't just be like, oh, that's still me. It's gone. He washed it away. When you give your life to God through the belief of his son, Jesus Christ, he gives you a new heart. Your life is changed. You have become new. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. It's over. Your old life is gone. A new life has begun. Like, your new life with Christ is now. Jesus died to make us new creatures. We no longer belong to the world. The world doesn't even want us anymore. It wants to trap us, but it doesn't want us. We belong to Christ. And that's the starting line. Once you give your life to Jesus, you step through that door and you close it. And then it's your choice to take that journey. You can choose, I'm going to stay by the door and constantly hear my past, constantly hear it. Or you can take Jesus by the hand, give up your will, take his will, and walk forward. And when that past is so far behind you, you don't even hear it anymore. You don't even want it anymore. It's gone. It's like, wow, I'm a new creature. I have been made new. Ah. Let us not stray. Stay at the line. Like, when God made me new, I was like, I'm new, woo. And I stayed, but I stayed at the line, and then I would cross it sometimes. And then I was like, why am I always crossing the line? And it was because my will was not completely gone. I still kind of wanted things, right? But when it was completely gone, there is not that temptation anymore. That world is gone. That past is gone. Now it's time to move forward with Christ. Like, stop paralleling yourself with the lines. Move completely away from it. We have been made new. Yesterday is gone. Today is now. The past is behind you because that is what it is. It's your past. Past is forgotten. Past is yesterday. You cannot go back to yesterday, so why go back to your past? It's gone. He's made us new. How will we serve today? Will we die to self today? Will we give thanks for everything today? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, I'll read 16 too. It says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So it's always be joyful. It doesn't say only be joyful when good things are happening, only be joyful when things are going your way. It's no, always be joyful. Give thanks in all circumstances. So when you're having troubles or you can't really see what's going on, you give thanks to God. Thank you, Jesus, for what I have. Thank you, Jesus, for this life that you've given me. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And you've died for me. You've made me new. Thank you, Jesus. I trust in you completely. You will lead me. You have a purpose for me, and I will hold on to that. So giving thanks is a really good thing. Will we choose to live in God's will? I thought when I was preparing this, I was like, this is so cool how all these scriptures go together. And it's like what Mike prayed in the prayer room today. The scriptures are living. They're living scriptures. It's like the well of living water. When you drink water 8 cups a day or more, it's because you know your body needs it to stay healthy. So our spiritual man needs it to stay healthy. We need 8 cups or more of spiritual living water every day, and that's his word, that's his presence, that's just being in him. And when I was little, so the scripture verse, like, constantly pray, right? So I thought you had to, like, go on your knees or whatever and hold your hands and say, Dear Jesus, and amen every time. But a prayer is communication to God. It's you're talking to God, like, God, you know, I need you in this situation, or thank you, Jesus. It's a constant communication. So it's not like a formal thing, it's relationship. So about a month ago, I went to Lethbridge, Alberta, and there I had the most amazing revelations of who God is and how he loves us. I thought when I was going down there, my friend was struggling a little bit, so I thought, like, I'm going to go and be a great friend and whatever, right? And turns out that she was the one that helped me so much, and God just, like, revealed himself in so many ways. I went to this worship conference, and it was just, like, being in his presence, there's no greater feeling. It was there I understood what it meant by Psalms 37:4. And I marked that one. Okay, 37:4, it says, delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. That's why I was like, God, it says in the word that he'll give you your desires, and I desire these things, so he's going to give them to me. But then it's like, it's like, delight in the Lord. And if you're delighting in the Lord, then of course you're going to have his heart, and he's not going to deny himself. He's going to give you the desires of your heart because they're his desires, right? So I was just like, oh, okay. Wasn't really delighting in you, so that works now. But once I had his heart, so he showed me this picture when I was in Lethbridge. He showed me a picture of He was above me, I was below, and we gave this exchange. I gave him my heart, he gave me his, and after that it was just like, there are no limits. He's completely taken over. He's given you the confidence you need. Whatever you need, he'll provide. I have his heart, he has mine, he will take care of me, and whatever happens to me, I'm his. Like, whatever happens to us, we are his. Doesn't matter. My desires were being fulfilled. Once I gave that complete submission to Christ, complete his will over my will, my desires changed. I desired to shine Christ. I desired to serve. I desired to follow my leaders, the covering that he's given me. I desired to just love people. And I was, in the past, I didn't like people. So it's a big change to just love people, want to hug people, want to share and listen to people. The desires were changing. And God's going to fulfill those desires because they're his desires. So I also desire to step out in faith without fear, completely trusting God, to be complete in him and want for nothing. To love unconditionally, and there's just so many more desires in my heart, and God's like, I'm going to give you each and every one of those desires. And he also told me, I'm going to give you them step by step, because he's like, if you're a runner and you want to run in a marathon, you know that you need to prepare. You can't just be like, I'm going to run a 10-kilometer marathon and you've never run in your life. You need to prepare. You need to start building your endurance, your stamina. It takes time, and that's what God said. I'm not going to send you out there into the world so that you can be destroyed. I'm going to prepare you. I don't send someone who is not yet fully mature and has the armor fully strengthened to go lead an army because they're going to fail. I don't do that. I'm going to give you the things you need to prepare you to go out. I was like, okay. So it's just, I'm someone who's super impatient. If he tells me something, I'm like, okay, you're going to give it to me tomorrow, right? No, it's his timing, his will, his timing, and completely trusting in him. So while I was in the left bridge, my personal relationship went from love to passion. Completely fell in love with Jesus. I didn't understand it at first. It was like, why do I feel so happy and blah 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 blah, and it was just, and then my friend's like, you're in love with Jesus. I'm like, no way. I'm like, yeah, this is good, I love this. So and then I was like, I have a heart after God. I'm like, who in the Bible did they say had a heart after God? I'm like, David did. And I was like, I want to know who David is, because I always want to be a woman after God's heart. So I just dived into everything about David, the Psalms about David, Samuel, everything I could read about David. I just dove into it, and this is how he glorified God. Like, David, we know, was not perfect. He has many sins, we know that, but instead of him being prideful and arrogant, saying, I'm a king, I could do whatever I want, he fell face down, and he repented to his God, and he said, your will be done, Lord, not my will. And that's what we need to do when we sin. It's not like, okay, now I should just give up on life. So no, we fall face down. We present ourselves to God, and we say, Lord Jesus, your will be done. Come forward, Lord Jesus, right? So in Psalms 36, 5 to 10, this is how he describes our God. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean's depths. You care for people and animals alike. O Lord, how precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. That's our God. How can we say we don't want to give completely everything over to him, complete control, because he clearly has everything in order. when we take control, things, disasters happen. But when we let God take control, we completely let him lead our lives, that's when good things happen. That's when everything makes sense. And then in 2 Samuel, which I love so much, it was just, this is how I was always so fearful to completely abandon myself for God, because I'm like, what will they think of me? all these people I'm giving control over my life, people I've never met before, I'm letting them control me. But no, it's what does God think of me? That's the most important thing. What does God think of you? And you are fearfully, wonderfully made. Hello, he loves you. He thinks nothing but the best things about you. And this is what it says. It says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So he was completely not wearing things you should be wearing, right? So in his underwear, basically. And he looked foolish to the world. The world was like, look at him. Like his wife was even like, oh, you despise, I despise you when you're like this, right? But he's like, and in 2 Samuel 21, he's like, I was dancing before the Lord. Like, how can you say anything to me? I was dancing before my king, my God. How can you say anything about it? And that's how I felt when I broke out. And I was like, you know what? God, this is for you. It's completely for you. And if I look foolish to the world, then that's great because it's completely for you. And that's what it is. It's you're dancing before your king. You're dancing before your God. When you speak out for who you are, when you stand up for who you are, you're standing up for who you are in Christ. It's your God. How can anyone bring you down or say anything about you? They can throw stones, they can do whatever, they can kill us, but our God has us in his hands, and if we die serving him, we go to heaven. It's a win-win for me. So when I was in Lethbridge, he showed me three visions, like three revelations, and one of them was this. There was a man with a bag full of stones. He was carrying it around, and people were looking at him and wondering, why? Why are you carrying those stones? The people around him were happy and free, and the man was miserable, but was not wanting to let it go. We need to let go of all our selfish ways. So in that bag, there was his stones of his will, the things that kept him in his will, and that's it. He didn't want to give up his selfish ways, his addictions, his idols, self-seeking pleasures. He didn't want to give up those things and pick up his cross. Yes, he believed in Jesus, but he still held on to those things that kept him down. Instead of saying, God, say, come to me, all those who are thirsty, like he's like, I'm going to keep it and keep walking with it. Even though God's made me a new creature, I'm going to go back to my old ways. I said, no, God's made you new. It's time to move forward. So it's time to die to those things, let them go, and live in God's will. We have all the excuses in the world why we choose to keep our bags on. But God is calling out to us, let go, my child. Take my heart, and I will take yours. In Matthew 11:28-30, really hoping this is the right one because it's really good. Okay, Matthew 11:28-30. Okay. Oh, there we go. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Like, we do this exchange. Let him take it. Take everything and just take on his yoke, because his burdens are easy and they're light. And there's still that word burden, so it's not like you're going to go out in life and everything's going to be roses and daisies and stuff like that. It's work, right? You got to work. So he has so much planned for us, but we put the brakes on and try and control our lives. We move very slowly, but when we let him lead, doors fly right open. So when we try and control our lives, it's like we're putting the brakes on. And we're like, God's like, it's this way. And we're just moving at like a snail pace because we really want to control everything. But God's like, let it go. Let me lead. And when he leads, you're just going to be running. It's going to build your endurance and your stamina. It's like, for God's heart, he's like, he's there, he's ready to give you his heart. It's not like you have to do anything, you just take his heart, complete submission, let go of yours, give him your heart, and just follow him. He desires for us to turn into his embrace. So it's like he wants to hold us, and he wants us to turn into him and commit to him. He wants us to be like, I love you, and you love me, and now it can flow. Another vision he showed me was there was a candle lit, and when it brushed, so there was one candle with a flame, and there was like just a ton of, a row of candles that were not lit. And he just showed me that when this candle touched the other one, it was a domino effect. It was just flowed right down. And that's what he told me, like, one flame lights many. Let us be the change we want to see. Let us take a stand and go against the current. Instead of following the crowd, let's be a new crowd. Let's start being the flame, and like, Jesus has made us new. Let's start, like, I'm a new person in Christ, and people are going to be like, what's different about you? Well, this is what's different about me. Jesus has made me new. Everything that I've done in the past, even if it comes up in my face, that's not me anymore. That's Jesus has made me new. So that person that you're saying I am, it's not true. That's not me anymore. God has made us new. So let us love and serve like Jesus showed us to do. Oh, Jesus, there's so much scriptures in here. I go on forever about Jesus' example, what he did. There's one scripture. I'm going to see if I marked it. It's in John, I think. Yeah. Okay, so God desires to make us free, to walk away from that line and embark on this journey with him as the head and leader of our lives. So he wants to lead us because he knows the best way for us. We are called to follow Christ, and what did he tell us to do? Like, we're called to be examples of Jesus, right? And this is what it says. And since I, your Lord and teacher, so this is John 13:14-15, it says, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. So the Lord, the King, the Magnificent One, the Creator of the universe, came to earth as a baby, grew up, and washed our feet. Like, he was completely humble and gentle, and he loved people, and that's what he wants us to do. It is not this complicated thing, it is simple truth. He wants us to love people, to be a servant, to be gentle-hearted, to wash their feet. It's Jesus is so powerful and profound, and he made a way for us that is simple to follow. It's not this complicated life that like we try to make it sometimes. Jesus is like, do as I have done. I am a servant to all. Do as I have done. He's like, whoa, okay. Jesus, we just thank you so much for this, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We need to relinquish the control over our lives and let him lead. True freedom comes when we let go and trust in God Most High. And why wouldn't we? If you read the scriptures, you know what kind of God he is. He doesn't manipulate. He doesn't deceive. He's straightforward. And it's all for our good and to bring him glory. That's why we're here. We're here to bring him glory. And he decided to make us his love. We're his bride. He wants to marry us. Be like, okay, well, hello. I want that. I want that so much. It's just so beautiful. Whew. Okay, Ephesians 4:21-23. And I think I'm going to just end with this. It says this. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, letting the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So every day it's a new day. Every day you renew your mind. Every day you change. Every day you make the choice. It's not like today I made the choice to follow Jesus. He's my king today, and tomorrow you're different. It's like, no, but tomorrow, if you choose, you make a mistake, you have the next day. The next day you're like, today, Lord Jesus, you are my king. I renew my mind. You renew my mind. I thank you for what you've done for me. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. And that's what we're called to do, to put on the new nature that God has given us, to be new creatures in him, because that's what he's made us. I'm done.
Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this message with others, but do not sell or alter the content in any way without the permission of the Rock Christian Community.